And happy Sabbath again.
Good morning.
Thank you for reading that scripture for me. It was actually supposed to be a lot more extended, but I decided to shorten it. And thank you, Larry, for that children's story. That kind of, well, actually, it does fit right in with my sermon, strangely enough. No, I didn't call Larry the night before and tell him. God just works miracles in that way. God is good in that manner. Today, my sermon title is Created on Purpose with Purpose. I'm going to kind of dig into that and see what is our purpose for being created. Why did God create us? I mean, he could have used the angels to do what we are doing, but he, in his infinite wisdom, wanted to create man. Excuse me. Before I get started, let me say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, it is my prayer that you stand in front of me, stand on the sides of me, and stand in back of me, Lord. I'm asking for coverage, Lord, so that I may not be seen, heard, nor recognized, Father God. But in all that I do and say, it is you. Father God, be with each and every one of us here today, Father God. It is my prayer, Lord, that we all receive a blessing from what it is you have placed on my heart to speak to your people. Father, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Created on purpose with purpose. This is actually this is a devotional I've been studying and reading, so I figure I want to share it with each and every one of you here. But I'm going to start it backwards, and I'm going to actually start in Genesis 1:28. And I just want to take a look at the three good reasons, or three very important reasons, why we were created and our purpose for being created. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That there is a commandment. And I want to start by kind of breaking that down. We're going to look at three reasons why. How many reasons?
Three
reasons why we were created. Three purposeful reasons why we were created. The first one I want to take a look at is when God said, be fruitful and multiply. And I looked at that. Why would God want us to be fruitful? God blessed us and made us whole as humans, our first parents, Adam and Eve. But he commanded us to be fruitful and multiply. And I believe Psalms 127:3 really brings that out. Psalms 127:3 says that children are a heritage from God, or a blessing, if you will, a reward, a gift. And also a benefit. You know, sometimes we get up there in age and we might need the kid to go turn the TV or wash the dish. I believe that's one of the reasons God blessed us with kids. So, thanks, Moo. But no, I mean, seriously, in all seriousness, it's a blessing to be able to reproduce. The angels couldn't reproduce. God built us and created us for that purpose, to be able to fill the earth. Then he says, subdue it and have dominion. Now, a lot of people will look at that and say that word subdue means to conquer or in have my way and dominion and destroy. And God says, you know, told me to subdue the earth. That gives me permission to go out and do whatever I want. That's not what God is saying right here. He's telling us to subdue and have dominion. In Genesis 2:15, God says that he took man and placed him in the garden to work and serve, to, if you will, improve on the garden. Those of us with the green thumb kind of know what I'm talking about. People like Sharon. That brings a beautification to the world, brings more vegetation to the world. And Larry brought out that in his children's story, leaves, how they break down and reproduce and bring more plants for the next following season. God put us on this earth to fill it, multiply it, fill the earth, multiply and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, the beasts, the cattle, and everything that creep and crawl. He put us here to take care of the earth, not destroy it, not destroy one another, but to take care and love one another. God created us to show his glory and his mercy. That is the first and second reason. I kind of skipped and rushed through it. But if we go through and we recap, God created the heavens and the earth, fish in the sea, birds in the air, beasts, cattle, all this, trees, grass, land. But then we come to his third, and I will call his greatest creation, his crowning victory. His greatest creation, me. That was a joke. That's all right. Nobody got it. I'm working on my punchlines here. No, in all seriousness, his greatest creation, God created the greatest thing that he probably could ever create, is each and every one of us seated here today. He created us as free thinking beings, giving us free will, the freedom of making the choice of free will. And as I was going through this, I was looking at Genesis 1:27, where it says, God, let's just read it. I would rather get it right than not. Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And I kind of stopped right there. And it kind of puzzled me. And I had to ask a question there to myself. When you see that word image, what do you think of? When you see image, you think of kind of a, if you look in the mirror, you get an image staring back at you, kind of like yourself. You get a reflection. Or if you go out and you drive around somewhere and you see a statue, that's kind of an image. Now, question the fact. Wait a minute. God doesn't have an image, though, does he? And if we look at John 4:24, it states that God is a spirit. And I begin to think, how can a spirit have an image? Does a spirit have an image? Then I begin to wonder, and I ask myself a question again, repeatedly, how can we as human beings be formed in the image of something without a form? How can that be? How is that possible? Could it be that a spiritual being may have a spiritual body with a form and features? Then God showed me 1 Corinthians 15:44. 1 Corinthians 15:44 kind of gave me some insight to my question. It reads, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, life and death. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." So in essence, yes, God does have a form. Even in the Bible indicates that there are certain people in the Bible who have seen parts of God. Believe that's Exodus. Where am I at here? Exodus 33, I believe it was, where God showed Moses the back of him as he passed by. He covered Moses with his hand and he passed by Moses, is the verse I was thinking about. And even after that, where Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders went up on the mountain and they seen God's feet and they ate and they drank in the presence of God. Even in Daniel 7:9, where God revealed himself to Daniel as the Ancient of Days. But I think the greatest example of all of this would be in Colossians 1:15. Where it speaks about Christ, and it says, "Here is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And then even in Hebrews 1:3, I believe this emphasizes the express image of God as well, where it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for answering my question. Yes, you as a spirit do have features in a form that you decided to create us as a human race in." And as I close, just a couple things, food for thought maybe. Purpose of why we were created on purpose. We were created for relationships with one another. Genesis 2:18 explains that. We were created to be stewards, created to steward the world, take care of it, the vegetation, the animals that the Lord created. He created us to cater to them, improve on them, make them better. We were also created to imitate God. You can find that in Exodus 20:8-11. God created the world in 6 days. He worked 6 days and rested on this very day And that is the reason why we are here today, for rest and the fellowship, and to have a relationship with one another. And I just thought that was just a beautiful study as I was going through it. I wanted to share that with everybody here. As we get ready to pray, just remember that, yes, you do serve a living and risen Lord. We were all created for a purpose. So don't get down on yourself or let someone tell you you're nothing. You were created for nothing. Because as you can see in scriptures, we have a very big responsibility. And it's my prayer that we continue to uphold that responsibility. As we stand and sing our closing song, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that this is your world. Father God, but most of all, we thank you for creating us, for having the image, the imagination to create us in your image, Father God. Although you may be a spirit, you do have a form and features, Father God, and we exemplify that in our everyday lives, Lord. Father God, it's my prayer that we continue to do that as we leave this place of worship, that we imitate you, our Creator, your greatest creation, Father God. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.